You're ready in five.
Well, Happy New Year to you on this wonderful January 2024.
18th of January, 2024, to be exact.
Yes. Yes, a little bit past the midway of the month.
Well, and Old Man Winter showed up.
With a vengeance, yes. Unusual, even out here on the wet left coast. We have about a foot of snow and expecting a little bit more today with some rain, and kind of glad that I'm living in an older house that allows fossil fuels to heat the abode.
Yes, we had 2 days of no power, and we had a gas stove and a gas fireplace and solar panels to run the electricity for the fans.
Ooh, a hybrid house.
A hybrid, that's right. Which is a classic example of, you find solutions when you need them. You don't
Yes.
find problems that need solutions.
Well, and again, I can't help but notice that you sorted all that out and got everything working and managed to live through the 2 days without power, all without government intervention.
That's right. That's right. I'm sure they'll figure out a way to tax me on it. But
Oh, I have no doubt. I have no doubt. But
so
hey.
our first episode in the third season. Do you realize we're in the third season of the Border Patrol Journal podcast videos? We've lasted this long. We're lasting longer than some TV shows have.
Well, I'd like to say that's a feat, but some of the TV shows, that's really not surprising.
Well, I'm at least we're still able to do it. I keep reading from our illustrious leadership that they're concerned that there's a lot of misinformation being promoted over the internet, and that people like us will have to be closely monitored for our position on things.
Is that, if you agree with us, it's free speech, but if you don't agree with us, you're bad and misinforming and full of misinformation?
That's right. That's right. For
I guess
example,
maybe we should apply to the Canadian Broadcasting Fund and see if we can get some of that $650 million.
would be good. But I'm not sure if we would get much of a reception,
Probably not.
for various reasons.
Various and sundry, isn't that the terminology?
Various and sundry. But
Yeah.
I noticed that in Davos this week, the usual gangsters, I'm sorry, influencers are there.
Wasn't there an old TV saying that the usual suspects are in town?
Yeah, it was rather humorous to see the Canadian Deputy Prime Minister going there and having secret meetings with the WEF gang, which raises the question, how did she get there? On whose dime?
Yes, and was
And
it a solar-powered airplane?
if she went on our dime, meaning the taxpayers, then why is she having secret meetings with an organization that is an NGO? Like it's not like what is What exactly would have to be discussed with that gang of pirates in secret? Do we have an agreement with the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab on how Vivo runs the world? And if we don't have an agreement, then maybe she ought to tell us what was the discussion.
Well, absolutely. One way or the other, if she's there on our dime, she needs to come out with it and let us know what it is that they are talking about, because isn't transparency supposed to be one of the hallmarks of this government? And then
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't think
the other side of that is even if she's there, paid for and funded by other parties, She better not be advertising herself as being the deputy prime minister, finance minister, or whatever of the government of Canada.
Well, the only way, if you watched her presentations that were picked up and retransmitted on X, for example, and on YouTube, she's sitting there pontificating with a great croquette of Ukraine, the Ukraine colors on her dress, and she looks more like a deputy or an MP from the Ukrainian parliament than, you know, going there representing Canada. And I'm thinking that's a little rich, you know, because it's, she's going on about how Canada is going to decarbonize and all, it's a usual climate cult stuff, which is why we're not going to get any money from the government, because we called them a cult. But point being that the visual part was promoting the Ukraine link, whereas the audio part was talking about basically destroying the fossil fuel industry in Canada. And then we're all going to be running around sitting in the dark because there's no alternative to fossil fuels at the moment.
Well, many people are finding out over this little cold streak and snap that's come through Canada in particular, and I'm sure over in Europe as well, they've been affected. So, yeah. And then to top that all off, too, you know, our cousins in Alberta who have been told, don't use your electricity between such and such an hours and such a, to save the grid, much like our other cousins down in California that have been doing this for years. Yes, move off of fossil fuels. I don't tend to disagree with that. But we can't do it overnight. And I think this last couple of weeks have shown us that we'd be in a fool's folly to try and do that overnight.
Well, we've talked about this before. You know, there's nothing wrong with pursuing other technologies and sciences to deal with, you know, the issue of reducing our dependence on fossil fuels, even though I'm not sure if the science is entirely correct on what the sort of the alarmist stuff that's going on. But putting that aside, you know, it's this cold snap has shown that a lot of the people in this town where we live, their Teslas have been parked because it's too cold.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I guess coupled with that is that with the migrations coming here, we've seen our premier in Quebec who's now trying to glad handle the federal government into stopping the flow of refugees because their systems are starting to overpower them. Not just probably electrical things, but their social economics as well is starting. Is this a good segue to get into something that we should be talking about as opposed to stuff that is going to give me an ulcer angle?
No, you're right. You're right. That was a clever segue. To that, after all, we have said that the purpose of the Border Poll Journal and Border Polls that talk about issues that impact human mobility and refugee movements and migration movements, etc. Mm-hmm. So the segue is appropriate. You know, it's clear that Quebec, much like other jurisdictions, even the U.S., just simply cannot cope with the literally millions of migrants that have shown up in the past 18 months or so. Mm-hmm. And yes. Living on the streets because there's no capacity to find them homes. There's no capacity to school their kids. There's no capacity to look after them in the hospitals. There's no capacity to deal with their elderly. And it's it seems like it's an intentional destruction of the lifestyle or the way Canada, U.S., North Americans have lived for the last since.
Yes, yes. It's also interesting, too, again, on the flyby news, I saw that the U.S. federal government was telling the state of Texas that they had better take down their barbed wire so that people would have a free access You're right. I mean, are they just giving up and saying, well, we can't stop them, so I don't, you can take it all down, but, or you should take it down so that you're not interfering with this mobility, or I don't know. What is the outcome of that going to?
Well, you're asking a really the valid question is, what is the intention here? Like, you know, it's clearly intentional policies that are driving this, both out of Washington with respect to their southern border and out of Ottawa with respect to, you know, the number of persons allowed to enter the country. Obviously, no one's coming over our southern border in the way they were at Roxon Road till last year. It still has Quebec wound up because they can't cope with that influx, which curiously they kept their mouths shut for 2 years while basically that was just an open door for malcontented individuals in the U.S. who were primarily migrants to the U.S. who either ran out of benefits or were coached or given information that it's easier in Canada to be given these benefits.
Greens.
I know. But I mean, there's this. What makes this particularly insidious, in my view, and you know, you and I have been in this sort of border business a long time, is the speed at which things are changing in our communities as a consequence. I mean, we always used to talk about how immigration was a good thing because it served a purpose both for those who were welcomed into the country and for those who wanted to come here. But this relationship between the welcomers and the newcomers is totally being destroyed by just sheer numbers, where you know, the milk of human kindness goes sour, to use it.
Well, absolutely. I don't think that you would find very many people that would be upset with the selection of immigrants who are needed in the country, who have a skill set that are needed here, that will benefit us in the long run, as opposed to those who show up and say, I don't care what you say, I know I'm the best for your country, and I'm just going to be here and, you know, like going to use and abuse your system until I get permanent resident, and then I'll get a whole bunch of my other family over here. And wasn't it 2 decades ago? I know here in BC there was the play on words of the gray tsunami that's going to hit our medical systems and our health systems, and by and large our immigration system, which was based on a point merit system, was not thrown out, but cast aside in favor of getting parents and grandparents to come into the country, which was just adding and multiplying this gray tsunami that has hit us particularly hard over the last 10 years.
Yeah, the assisted relative class.
Yeah.
And of course, the extension of that relative class to uncles and aunts and, you know, without being facetious, third cousins twice removed. I mean, please, you know.
Well, it's also too a little bit now with what's going on in Gaza, the issues of are we asking too many personal questions and to get these people here? Yes, it's a horrendous situation. It's one that I certainly would not want to be in. But by the same token, I, for one, want to make sure that the people that are coming are who they say they are, that they are related as they say they are related, and that there's not going to be any political or terrorism repercussions as a result of this influx of people.
I don't know. The influx that we speak about is significant, because when you look at the demonstrations in support of the Palestinians on the streets of major urban centers in this country, as well as the US and elsewhere, where did all these Palestinians come from? Like, you know, suddenly they're everywhere, and they're mostly men, army age men. You know, they espouse very passionate views on the issue, which from perspective of what the horrendousness of that war is understandable. On the other hand, who started this mess? You know, so you know, you have a problem. And then when you look at the infrastructure of these demonstrations, we have literally thousands of Palestinian flags. Someone had to make those. You have all these people with masks on and these scarves. Well, someone had to make those and buy them and distribute them. So, you know, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, there's literally tens of thousands of people collectively in North America who are blocking traffic and doing all sorts of, you know, civil disobedience, at which is beyond just having the right to protest. Mm-hmm. You also have elements of anti-Semitism in there, which are really reprehensible. And you have something else, which is, again, in the time frame of the last 100 some odd days, and even within the last 2 years, where the authorities, justice system, the law enforcement community, it's become spineless, or for lack of other words I could use, but we don't want to be banned from YouTube on this. So, you know, when you see people who are paid to keep the peace delivering coffees to demonstrators who are blocking roads, as they did in Toronto mm-hmm. recently, or up in your neck of the woods where the Victoria Police Service is talking about fuzzy stuff instead of doing their job, arresting people who are demonstrators. No, we don't want to deal with those issues. What do you mean? I can pull up the actual thing that the chief of police out there was pontificating about, and you're going, like, what are you talking about? You're not here to make policy. You're there to carry out, you know, what you're sworn to carry out. But they seem to
falls under various criminal codes and provincial codes and traffic violation codes.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So there's, you know, and everything is upside down when Texas is being sued by the U.S. federal government for stopping people coming into the country because they don't want to do it. You have to wonder, like, are we in an alternate universe now?
Well, yeah, there's that. But, you know, just one other thing that you had mentioned, you know, the anti-Semitism which is going on. It's also coupled with Islamophobia as well, you know, and neither one of them are right. And is this just another way of trying to put a wedge into the system? And like we've mentioned before, you know, watch the hand, because we don't want you to watch what's going on over here.
Well, yeah. You know, this, just to segue to the reason that these things happen, is you have to question the competence of the leadership that we've been foisted on for the last mm-hmm. 10 years or so. And we really had a succession of weak folks who've been thrust into leadership positions who today are disrespected. I mean, I can go down the list of names, and none of them can draw, you know, a crowd of real, you know, I mean, they're really not very happy. And the ones that do draw crowds, you know, I'm not sure they understand what they're going there for. So there's the level of contempt that voters, taxpayers have for their leaders is, in my lifetime, has never been this high. In my, it used to always be a joke about how you don't trust politicians and lawyers and, you know, all that stuff. but it's now visceral. You know, I mean, people really don't even want to talk about it. If you're in a social setting, like, you avoid the discussion because, you know, they are just not particularly a pleasant crowd to talk about.
Good. I hope that's not the federal government yet. If we get cut off, folks, it's because I didn't answer my phone.
Well, it's, you know, of course you disrespect the leadership that decides they're going to, without ever having a referendum or a vote on something as significant as should my community change its cultural, social, and demographic basis because someone decided to do that. I mean, someone said to me not that long ago about traveling, about going to China. And it was a joke. And he said, why would I go to China? I just have to go downtown Toronto. And I'm in China because the huge population of Chinese that have showed up there, it's basically a province of China. I mean, it's no longer an integration of Chinese into the bigger, you know, population of the city. It's a silo, and you go six blocks the other direction, and you're in a totally different world again. And it's not like the old days. They keep talking about the old days when you had the Irish section and the Italian section, and this is totally different today. There's no these people are not seeking the Canadian or the American dream. They're basically replicating wherever they came from and building their communities as kind of colonial outposts of where they came from.
Yeah.
And because there's no real intent here by these so-called leaders that we have to integrate these communities. But they keep talking about multiculturalism as if it's some kind of a state-sponsored communities, you know, spread out here in Canada or the U.S. When they worry about things like police stations, Chinese police stations in the Canadian and American cities, and I don't want to pick on the Chinese in particular, but it's a classic example of what has changed dramatically in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. This is not how you run a society where everyone has an equal shot at stuff, because clearly if you're not within one of those silos, you have no business being there. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to see the and I won't even name the communities, but these are not interchangeable communities. These are standalone communities based on either religion or race or culture. Okay.
Well, coupled with that, there are places in Germany that, you know, anecdotally I've heard, and in Paris, again, anecdotally I've heard that they're just regions where law enforcement will not go.
Oh yeah, they're called banlieues, B-A-N-L-I, the districts. Okay, it's a French word for district. And that's not even new, Bob. I remember going into Strasbourg 15 years ago. This is not that long ago in history, but there were sections of Strasbourg, which is one of the European capital cities, that they move between, you know, every 6 months. They're in Strasbourg for 6 months, and they all move back to Brussels for 6 months. It's, you know, as screwy as the EU. There are whole sections of that you just didn't step foot in. Moreover, if you were on a tram that went through some of those neighborhoods at night and you weren't supposed to be there, you weren't supposed to be there, if you get my drift. Okay. So, and they've been living with that for at least a decade and a half. And so these things are, so what do you do when you're now dealing with the probably 30-year-olds, you know, who were teenagers 15, 20 years ago when this was just cranking up? Now they're adults and they're still pissed off with, you know, having never integrated into that community. We got a whole generation now of people from different parts of the world that have absolutely no relationship with their with the community that they went into, either as a child or now as an adult. You know, they keep talking about disinformation and misinformation. I can tell you for a fact that misinformation and disinformation within those communities, vis-a-vis the larger community that they reside in, is rampant. Okay.
Well, I noticed that again on the one of the local stations broadcasting news, and they were talking to people in the Gaza Strip, and quite a high number, like, you know, 75% of the people they talked to did not believe that the militants did anything wrong. You know, that the videotapes were Israeli propaganda, and the freedom fighters that they knew would never do those kinds of atrocities. And, you know, I guess it gets back to what we talked about, one issue of we are so we they that we can't even find any common ground to talk about anymore.
Well, you're right. We're, I think, heading down a very inglorious path at the moment, because the, again, the leadership that we have has some intention here, both in Washington and Ottawa, and to some extent, even more screwy in the EU, on what to do with migration issues. You know, they have sanitized, if you will, if I could use that word, maybe not even sanitize it, blurred the lines to the extent where you can't really distinguish between refugees and migrants and economic. All that is now been blurred to the point where, you know, the host community has to become entirely passive. Okay. While the migratory community is essentially very aggressively demanding certain rights, economic, social, and otherwise, which is not a healthy relationship between communities. This, you know, they keep talking about this racism. Listen, you know, there's always a push-pull factor on that. You know, the rising crime in urban cities in America and in North America and in Europe, you know, they used to say, that's got nothing to do with migration. Yeah, well, then how come all the rap sheets seem to indicate that the vast majority of these folks weren't even here? Yeah. Or aren't supposed to be here.
Yeah. Well, hang on. It's another one of those things where we start to look at, and you can see our viewers are going to be well fed this year again with little things, because as we said before, we just can't make this stuff up. and it doesn't matter what we can look at, it's there's going to be something to talk about.
And you know, we're you know, we've made a decision now to you know, focus on media that is centered around the whole human mobility question. And, you know, but you can't help but from time to time kind of going off that path a little bit, because there are different versions of the inputs that affect, we'll never run out of things to talk here about.
You know, I guess is our time this week is kind of running down. You know, we're looking again. Like us, please. Tell your friends about us. We're looking for exposure. We're in the midst of our dues renewals. You know, go to the website. It'll tell you how you can become a member. But coupled with that, when I was coming back from our sojourn this year, I went through the state of Oregon and noticed that they had placards on their highways when they weren't talking about weather conditions, about January being Human Trafficking Awareness Month, which I thought was kind of interesting. On one respect, you know, it's putting it out there. There's a lot of travelers that go up and down the I-5 corridor, but I couldn't figure out, why was it just Oregon? Why wasn't California involved? Why wasn't Washington involved? Is that just an Oregon thing? And then the other thing that hit me was, how would John Q. Public know about human trafficking? Like, what is it? Where is it? How would you determine whether a case is or could be human trafficking? And then how do you report it? You know, it's...
The trafficking in people business has been a billion-dollar business for years and years and years. And the sheer magnitude of the numbers of people who have been affected by the trafficking phenomenon for 30 years. And those who have made literally billions of dollars from it through various and sundry endeavors, be that slave labor, prostitution, whatever. Curiously, the jails are almost empty of the people who were, you know, the kingpins of this stuff, you know, because Human Trafficking Awareness Month, you would think is, well, you know, that must generate a lot of court cases of all the people, the kingpins who are involved. The jails are not overflowing with these folks. Okay. There's very few convictions of those people who are apparently involved in the business. Jails should be overflowing with these people, but they're not. Sorry. That's the truth.
Yeah, well, you got to kind of wonder what pushback you would get if you start to push that issue. But
there is, there's a lot of hypocrisy involved in this. All the gangsters are not the ones who are doing the trafficking. Some of them are the ones who are telling us that, you know, we should be aware of the trafficking issue. Yeah, sure. I'm sorry. We'll have to talk to our colleagues, bring them on board. Let's have a discussion about that, about, you know, just exactly where do some of these threads lead back to.
I'm sure they must know. Or they...
It's not a coincidence. There are no coincidences when it comes to an open border and millions of people showing up in North America. It's not a coincidence. There's an intent there. Now, whether it's criminal intent or some other kind of intent, I don't know. But someone's making money on it, big time. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's a whole lot of political folks who should be ashamed of themselves. You know, I'm sorry. I don't know of any political figure right now anywhere in the world that stands out as a individual who can carry the anti-trafficking flag, because they don't exist. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, maybe to be a bit cynical about this, if we could prove that the human trafficking cartels are related to the fossil fuel industry, things might fix.
Listen, you know, if this is a scam right up there with the climate cult, the counter trafficking cult. Like I said, if they're really, really, really doing their job and really were interested, the jails would be full of the kingpins, but they're not. I rest my case, counselor.
Yes, and I'm sure we'll I hope we've hit a few nerves.
Well, I hope so. I hope that these people all have root canal without anesthesia.
Ooh. Even that made me cringe.
All right, well, time to pack it in for this week. first episode for 2024. Mm-hmm. Season 3 comes to an end on a happy note like that.
Yeah. It's cringe.
All right, Bob.
Back to you soon.
Stay warm. Stay safe.
And you as well.
We'll see you next week.
All the viewers out there, have a great 2024.
Indeed.